As Christians, we are faced with a lot in this world, a lot of opposition. A lot of opposition is increasing, especially in this country. It's becoming very popular to bash Christians, to bash God in general, to ridicule anything godly, and to lift up satanic desires. His desire to pull everyone away from anything godly is really on an increase in this country, which we as Christians can do one of two things. We can whimper and cower back and be silent, or we can stand up boldly and proclaim the Word of God, proclaim the truth of the Word of God, proclaim salvation, proclaim the opportunity for others to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to get out of that slavery to sin that they're in. Because basically, that's what it is. You're either a slave to Satan and sinful behavior, or you are a slave to Jesus Christ. I would much rather, and I am very glad and thankful that I am a slave to Jesus Christ. I want to be completely and fully His, and everything that I do and say bring honor and glory to Him. Granted, none of us can say that we do that 100% of the time. Many times we have opportunities to proclaim our salvation to others, to witness to others, and we do whimper back and we cower. We bite our lip. We bite our tongue. We don't speak up. We let something pass. We let an opportunity to witness pass by. It's like the song he's talking about. You never told me. And there are so many ways available today to proclaim Jesus Christ, to confess Christianity, to confess your salvation to the world. Some ways that are very subtle, some ways that are not so subtle. But the simple task of a comment here and there can make a world of a difference. As we've discussed so many times, just a simple word in the right time and delivered in the right manner can make a world of a difference in somebody's life and really change their life. We have that opportunity to be a part of that. We need to take that opportunity. Use that. I mean, as Christians, you have such a vast supply of things to use, because Jesus Christ has it all laid out there for you. The abilities, the knowledge, the boldness, the encouragement, the strength, the desire. All that is there if you'll access it. And we have a responsibility to go out and boldly proclaim the Word of God. To proclaim that we are a Christian. As I said, many things that are available to us today here in this country, ways that you can use the computers, the internet, for instance, or websites, Facebook. Well, they got this new Twitter or Tweeter or something. I haven't gotten into that one yet. There's so many things out there that you can make connections with others. And it is amazing how much of an impact you can have and a ripple effect you can have if you just take the opportunity to do it. We will never really know how much of an influence we've had on this world until we're at Judgment Day and our lives have been revealed to us, as well as in judgment our lives will be reviewed. And we'll be able to see what kind of impact we had. Because some of the stuff that we put in motion in our lives now will go on after we're passed away. After we're with the Lord, some of the work that we're doing now will continue to have fruit. And you'll get opportunity of reward for that as well in eternity, which is an awesome thing to consider, that all of your efforts will be considered and will be rewarded if they are for the right reasons. Don't do anything for the Lord for the expectation of a reward, because then you've just done it for the wrong reason. You need to do it because you're willing to do whatever the Lord wants you to do because of what He's done for you. Everything that He's already given you, the very breath in your lungs that He's given you, all by the grace of God. So we should, as Christians, boldly go into this world proclaiming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Look at some of the other things that you can take on as a Christian. If you will, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, let's pick it up in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His might. Something that we get wrong so many times when we're looking at our lives. Is it by our might or is it by His might? It's like when an opportunity comes, well, I don't have the ability to do that. I can't do that. You know, it's not based on what you can do. It's what are you willing to do? Because the Lord will give you what you need to do a task that He has in mind for you to do. Now, if you're trying to do something that the Lord doesn't have in mind for you to do, that's different. You're going to fall on your face. But if you're taking on a task that the Lord has in mind for you to perform, He will give you the abilities to do it. Because it says, by His power and might, not by ours. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He wasn't encouraging. Of course, this is a letter of Paul written to the church in Ephesus, encouraging them to go out and do the work of the Lord. Not in telling them, hey, you guys are really good. You know, you've studied all the right stuff. You've passed this and you've passed that and you've have the right materials on hand. You have a lot of ability. You have a lot of experience. He didn't say none of that. It was by the might of Jesus Christ, our Lord's might. We always have to remember that when we're out here working for the Lord. It's not by what we have, it's by what we have available from Jesus Christ can use us and work through us to reach the world. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. He has so much available for us. Like I've demonstrated so many times, a buffet and laid out for us. All the different items that are there for us to access. To just go up to it and take it and utilize it for the Lord. They are His, utilize them. And He's given us some of these items that are available to us. Put on the whole armor of God. This armor, which consists of that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we know we're up against the wiles of the devil. It's not against man, it's against the devil. And he has a lot more abilities than the man does. So you got to be prepared for that. In verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against mankind, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because we know when Satan fell there in the garden, when he tried to mess up God's plan and was cast out, he came to earth. He was cast to earth, and now he is considered the prince of the air, the god of this world, and he has abilities and powers that he has access to, and we've got to understand that. He has influence in the world, influence in politics, influence in your friends, your family, your relatives, even influence in the church. He has a lot of that, and we need to know that we have to put on the full armor of God so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand. I mean, you have to have the boldness to be able to stand. Well, what is boldness? Boldness is courage. Boldness is fearlessness against a challenge. Boldness is that anxiousness to be able to go out there and do the work. You know, you're willing, you're able, and you're stepping up to do it. Take advantage of that you can work for the Lord. Use that boldness that comes to you through the power of the Holy Ghost and stand. Too many times we're willing to just back off, sit down, move aside. We need to take a stand. The world is getting closer and closer to the final judgment. As it gets closer and closer, evil is going to be on increase. And we can surely see that increase. So much, especially in the in the last couple decades, I mean, things have just progressed so quickly. It seems like the closer we get to the last days, the quicker even time itself, the years start to click off. I mean, it's amazing how it seems to be doing that. And we got to know that we need to take a stand. While we have an opportunity to still serve the Lord, let's take a stand. Because He tells us right here. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. This is taken on as if you're clothing yourself for battle. It's taken on that truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that piece of armor that would go about their chest or go over their chest. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There was a piece of armor that they would put on the top of their foot to keep their foot from being damaged. That's where they would shod their foot when they were going out to battle, just to man-to-man battle there on the field with the swords and the different weapons. So you take on this armor so that when they strike at you with this or that, that you're able to withstand it. So if you have this full body armor on, you can go into a battle and those strikes come at you, they can be deflected by these different things that the Lord has provided for us. Stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. You think, well, wait a minute now. We're getting ready for war here and armor. And he's talking about peace. Note that all of this is not something to strike at someone. It's not, all right, you know, get your sword, get your spear, get your Gatling gun, you know, your hand grenades. It's not telling us to do that. It's putting on the armor to protect us because we know the attacks are going to be toward us. And if we stand firmly and stand on the love of God and the peace, that's what needs to be involved in the battle. That peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That you walking out there in peace. Not trying to stir up trouble. We've seen churches do this. They'll go and they'll make a big scene. They'll stir up a bunch of trouble. Yeah, they're saying or proclaiming truth sometimes. Sometimes it's slanted one way or the other. But they're doing it in a way that is going to be offensive. That's going to be destructive. That it's going to be considered hate instead of doing it in peace and doing it in love. Because he tells us so often, in meekness and fear, that power under control, in fear of God, because we're accountable for the way that we deliver His Word. If we deliver the Word of God in a way that turns someone against God, we are accountable for that. We need to boldly go and proclaim the Word of God in meekness and fear and in peace. Not stirring up trouble, not stirring up strife, not stirring up people's resentment toward us. You've seen this happen. You've seen it in the news where a group will get together and they'll go to protest something that is ungodly, and they'll protest that ungodly thing in such a way that it really makes the church look pathetic and pitiful and evil and angry and spiteful, and it doesn't make the church look like they're loving and caring. So they're doing more harm than they are good when they do that. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. There again, it's a defensive armor, the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Because we know things are going to be coming at us in all kinds of ways. And if we have that faith, we know that we're going to be protected by Jesus Christ. He will be able to shield all that stuff that's going to be coming at us. All those temptations, all that influence, all that is out there in the world. That ridicule, that persecution, that fear even. And take the helmet of salvation. You got to have salvation. If you're not one of His, none of this armor is going to do you any good anyway, unless you're born again. So the first thing you got to do is get born again. Put on all this armor. I'm surprised that he put salvation this far along in this list. But if you note, when he started, He started out with, finally, my brethren. He wouldn't have called them brethren unless they were born again to begin with. Because and you would only be able to be considered a brethren or a brother if you were part of the family. The only way to become a part of the family is to give your life to Jesus Christ, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then you become part of the family. Then you become one of the brethren. There are notes down here. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now we're into a piece of weaponry here. The sword of the Spirit. What kind of weapon? Which is the Word of God. That is our weapon. The Bible. The Word of God. The most powerful weapon on the planet. The most powerful weapon known to man. The Word of God. That weapon that has a two-edged sword. That cuts in, and a two-edged sword was designed to be able to cut as it goes in and as it comes out. No matter how they used it, it was able to cut all the way to the marrow, it says. And that's how the Word of God is described. To be able to cut all that comes at you with the Word of God. And it must be delivered in the proper way. A weapon is always most useful when it is used in the proper way it was designed to be used. How do you find that out? Through study and through prayer. Because as it says here next, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Okay, praying. What does pray mean? It means to ask the Lord. It's asking. It's a communication. What are you asking for? Supplication. Supplication means the supplies that you need, the needs that you have in order to serve the Lord. If you're going out to a task that the Lord has designed for you, you're going out to witness, you're going out to hand out Bible tracts, you're going out on the street to talk to folks that you've never met before, that courage that you need to be able to do that, boldness that you need to do that, that would be in this prayer and supplication. Lord, give me the strength, give me the words that you would have me to speak so that I can be most influential. And if you have the Word of God, then you've got your weapons, you've got that's prayer, because you're tying into what are you tying into? The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that is within you as a Christian. And watching therefore unto, excuse me, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Pray for others as well. Not just yourself. Pray for others that don't have the ability to do the work that the Lord has in store for them. So that we can, as a family, come together and work. As an army, coming together and working for the Lord. Fighting for the Lord. Fighting for righteousness. And then he talks about himself here. Reads, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Utterance meaning the ability to be able to speak. An opportunity to speak. Because you got to remember, Paul wrote this when he was in prison. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Because we should all be praying that we have this situation here. That we have the utterance. We have the ability to speak and to speak boldly when that opportunity is right there in front of us. Too many times we'll just keep quiet just a little too long and then that opportunity passes and is gone. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. Talking about because he's in prison. He's in bonds. He's the ambassador of the Lord. He's in the prison being able to witness and testify and preach to people that he would never have had access to if he had not been put into prison. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that's part of the key there. How we ought to speak. A lot of times we'll get our set little pattern that we want to use. And we memorize it. And we try to use that every time that we're going to go out here and witness it. Especially if you've been to like a soul winning class or a witnessing class of any sort, testifying class or any kind of class that gives you the instruction on how to give your testimony, then you try to can it and use it. Okay, this is what I'm going to use. And you go out and you use that on each person. Sometimes it'll work. Sometimes it won't work because it's not right for the situation. We need to read every situation and speak as we ought to speak. We have to be willing to lean on the Lord in that situation. Let Him decide what to say, when to say it. But we have to have a good knowledge of the Scriptures in order to do that. As it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You get that by studying the Word. Because the Word is that sword that we need to go out here into the world and to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if we study the Word, that gives us the supplies that we need. If we take on these different things here, the faith and the truth and the salvation and so forth, so that we can shield ourselves from the wiles of the devil, those fiery darts that will be coming at us, because we know they're out there and they're coming. Every single day of our lives, we're going to face things out there. We're going to face challenges as Christians. We're going to face things that are possibly going to hurt our relationship with our family, hurt our relationship on our job, hurt our relationship in our neighborhood, our reputation, our pride will be hurt. So many things that the world can come at you and use against you. Because remember, like it says here, it's, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you have quite a challenge in this world here. There's a lot of things that we're going to be facing. It is a very difficult challenge. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 reads, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we got to understand, Jesus Christ is going to be with us no matter what we're out there facing. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. No matter what you're facing, if you had a threat against you, like, hey, don't you be bringing in Bible tracts to work. We're going to fire you because that ain't allowed in this building. You know, find another way of doing it, but get them Bible tracts out there and use them. I mean, Bible tracts is an excellent way. I mean, we have one trooper here that really uses a lot of Bible tracts. I mean, she's out there handling them out like crazy. And it's very effective because they even come back around to me as, oh, okay, well, a lady was over here at such and such and she gave me this Bible tract. I said, well, that's great. I know who you're talking about because I know she's a trooper out there handing out Bible tracts. And they're cheap. I mean, we get them for like 3 cents a piece. So go out there and hand them out. Take a handful of them with you every day. Everybody you see. You know, even if you don't have the courage or the boldness to be able to say, let me introduce you to Jesus Christ, at least say, here you go, there's something interesting I found. You know, and reach it to them. And then walk away, you know, or run away. You know, at least they've got that in their hand. And a lot of the times, they're going to stick it in their pocket. Or they're going to, sometimes they'll throw it down. But you know, if they throw it down, somebody else walking along might look at that and see that. Say, hey, that looks interesting. Bend it down, pick it up. And then it got delivered to the right person. But it got delivered in a way that you didn't think it would be used. Know that Jesus Christ is in control of all that. If you lay one down somewhere, you know, even where you might not be supposed to lay one down. Like, say, on a counter at a bank or at a counter at a post office. So, a public building, or, you know, a government building. Be careful we bring in the Scripture to any public building or a government building. But bring that in there, you know, and you lay it down and walk away. The guy that comes around and cleans up the place might be the one to pick that up. Or somebody else come along and pick that up. We've heard testimonies. The Dunns, Brother Dunn, he got saved because of a Bible tract. You know, we've heard many testimonies about people that, because of the Bible tract, and those are so simple to use, and you go out there and scatter them everywhere. That's why I don't mind when we see the kids go up here and they'll get a handful of Bible tracts, and people, they go, what are you going to do with those? Well, they're going to take them home, and their parents are going to be taking them out of their clothes before they throw them in a washer, and their parents are going to look at that and say, hey, you know, and it might be the very purpose that the Lord had in mind for that particular cheap piece of paper that's got some print on it. You know, so get them out there however you can. A perfect way to witness and testify and to proclaim Jesus Christ. As well as you grow in power by tapping in and being in service for the Lord, He will give you more and more opportunities to serve Him in different ways. Opportunities to actually speak up and say something. Because we see such awesome examples like with Peter. How he was so upset, you might say, or so fearful of what might happen to him. So, I don't want to say cowardly, but he was definitely was scared. When he was following Jesus there with that last day when they were fixing to try him. And they had taken him into that room and they were persecuting him. And Peter was outside looking into that home and seeing that happening. And they were asking him, "Aren't you one of his?" And he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. But then later, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, boldly standing up, proclaiming Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, proclaiming salvation, proclaiming the gospel, that boldness come into him because of the willingness to step up and work for the Lord, the acceptance of Jesus Christ, the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Because when you get born again, you receive the Holy Ghost. Hey, strength is all in there. It's right there, ready to be tapped into if you'll just plug into it. And He'll give you the boldness. The more you use it, the more it will grow. Kind of like your muscles. You know, if you don't use your muscles, they do what they call atrophy. They start to shrink away. And it's very quick that they do that. I mean, within a week, you can lose muscle mass very quickly. And it takes you a long time to gain that back. Much longer to gain it back than it did to lose it. If you don't use the things that the Lord has given you to use to serve Him, they will atrophy as well. They will shrink away and it won't be as strong. But if you wake them back up, if you start using them, they will grow. They will grow stronger. They will grow quicker. They will grow more efficient. The same way, our ability to talk to others, our ability to testify, our ability to hand out, the boldness that comes with that, all will be strengthened if you'll use it. Because it comes from God. It's not of you, it's of God. And that's the main thing we've got to realize. Because He tells us, He's given us such a simple task. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Because you got to remember, every time you go out there and do anything for the Lord's right there with you, helping you out. Use that help. Use that strength that is His. It's not yours. It's His strength. So then you know it is unlimited. And the more you work for Him, the more He'll reward you here and for eternity. And it's nothing else out there in the world that can compare to that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be able to serve You, to be able to be one of Yours. Please give us that boldness to go out into the world and proclaim You as our Lord and Savior. We thank You so much for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Everyone, please stand and bow your